Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Well, we've had so much fun talking to Clint Victorine, who is the owner of Eel River Organic Grass-Fed Beef. We've decided to come back and talk to him a little bit more. And Clint, organic grass-fed beef is something that some of us are somewhat familiar with. How easy has it been to market your organic grass-fed beef?
It was somewhat of a challenge when I started. I mean, I started out small with an internet and then a couple stores and different stuff. But we decided we needed to get a little bit bigger and do some other stuff to make it worthwhile. And it did take a little bit of work to find a distributor because we can't just market it all within Humboldt County.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a little challenge getting that first distributor. We were kind of about 2 years ahead of our time out here in California, and you wouldn't think that. California was setting the trends, but the trend was really set on the East Coast. And so California was about 2 years behind. So it's just really taken off the last couple of years. Once we got that distributor and we got it in and people started eating the beef and the store started seeing it, it was one of them things, well, somebody would see it. Well, I need to have that for my store. And so it just kind of trickled down into where we have full distribution from San Diego to Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow, that's quite a distance there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're spread out over a few hundred stores.
One of the things I wonder, not really having too much familiarity with the animal, is how much acreage does a steer take to raise a steer on the grass?
Well, it takes more acreage before they're born and when they're born and on their mom. A lot of cows run anywhere from one cow and calf from maybe 5 or 10 acres up to 50 acres.
Wow.
Depending on the terrain and where it's located. And here in the coastal bottoms and stuff, we can do stuff on a couple acres per cow. Up in the mountains and our coastal ranges and out in our mountains east of us here, I mean, some of it takes anywhere from 20 to 50 acres to produce one calf.
Wow. And that's because we've got this great mild weather here, and so the grass is growing pretty rapidly, and so they're getting a lot more nutrition per acre.
Yes.
What type of cattle do you have?
Everything is English genetics. We predominantly use the Angus breed is the foundation that we use for a couple different reasons. The main reason is it's an early maturing and easily marbling animal that really converts grass to beef quickly. And so that's very important to be efficient on grass because you have so many acres and you need to get the most you can out of that grass. And so the Angus breed has really performed well on grass. It's important to have something that matures early and gets fat because that's where you get your pleasant eating experience and your tenderness in the meat.
Grass-fed meat does taste a little bit different from grain-fed meat.
There is, but the surprising thing is that most people can't hardly tell the difference between our grass-fed beef and a lot of grain-fed beef as far as flavor goes because of our mild climate and our high quality of feed that the animals are on. The clover and the ryegrass, especially the clover, really gives it almost that grain-fed taste that people love.
Oh, okay.
And so I've had people get angry at me because they go, we bought some of this, or I had it at a restaurant, and I was really expecting a gamey piece of meat, and it wasn't there.
and they were disappointed?
Yeah, they were somewhat disappointed because they wanted to experience that gamey taste that everybody talks about, and we don't have it. But that's what's really made our grass-fed beef very popular with a lot of people, too, is that people can eat it. Because a lot of people get turned away from that gamey taste that you get in meat. Our secret, I guess, my secret somewhat, is to never put the cattle on dry grass.
Ah.
Dry, rank grasses or different feeds and brushes where you're going to get those gamey flavors from. Uh-huh. By keeping them down on the valley floor here in Humboldt County, they're always on green, high-quality feed, and so that passes on to the meat that you eat.
Now, we hear such horror stories about food processing and meat processing, but with your meat, I mean, it's not in a huge, huge factory that is processing lots and lots of animals. Where is your meat processed?
No, we have it processed right here in Eureka by a small processing plant that is USDA inspected, organic certified, and is Steritech, third-party audited for food safety and animal humane handling certified. And we're just lucky enough that we have them right here in Eureka. They do all of our harvesting, and then they fabricate everything to go into the box. And then that ships out to stores. So by having it right here, we're really able to keep a close eye on product quality in different issues that may arise in a large processing facility that you can't control. They don't have a turnover of employees. They're all long-term employees. They treat them all like family. Most of them are family. The ones that work that aren't true family are like family to them. They take their job seriously, and they're really proud of the work that they do. They really do a great job for us.
So a little technical thing that I'm thinking, the animals come down there, are they alive when they come to Redwood Meatpacking?
Yes, we take them at the ranch, and they're either in Lolita or Arcata, and then we pick them out, the ones that are ready to go, and then we take them about a 10-mile drive, which is very short, where most cattle go to processing. Most of the time they get put on trucks and they go for hours, and then they sit there for hours waiting to unload. We take them into Redwood. Ours are the first ones done of the day. So they go in there. There's not all kinds of commotion. A lot of times they might be the only animals there. They take them in, they harvest them right then and there, and there's no sitting around. There's none of that stress involved that goes on in large mass plants. Our yearly harvest is what most plants can do in less than one day.
Wow. That's a small operation.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier, you are the person who does a lot of the different aspects of the job. You sometimes are delivering the meat. You are involved in checking out the different places to make sure that everything is meeting your standards. And in fact, you were just getting an email from somebody who didn't realize probably that they were actually emailing the person who owns the company with their questions about how are these animals harvested and everything.
Yeah, a lot of people are really shocked when the email comes back from me. Or I just call them up and we have a discussion on how we produce all the meat, how it's raised, and that I actually am the one that picks them out and raises almost all of them. And I pretty much see every single animal before it goes to be harvested. Even if I didn't raise that animal, I see that animal and it does spend some time at my ranch before it goes into Redwood. And so I can really assure people that I know where their food is coming from. That is the biggest thing that's been going is people want to know where their food is coming from. And I can tell every one of them, I've seen that animal, we know where that animal was born, how it was raised. Most of the time, I could find out who its mother was for them, if it were to matter to somebody. But we really have a very accessible tracking system in place to know where that animal has spent every minute of its life until it got to your dinner table.
And I think that's another thing that has come up recently with some of the conventionally raised meat is being able to track it. They say in some cases a hamburger can have parts of many different animals in it so that you never even can figure out if you had some tainted meat where that came from. But you guys mark every box of meat.
Every box when we process the animals, every box, whether we process 5 animals that day or 20 animals that day, that specific group of animals has a lot number that refers back to that day and those animals. And I have all the ear tag numbers for every animal that goes in there, where it came from, where it was born, and affidavits, everything proving that that animal was raised under our guidelines and those of the organic, California Certified Organic Farmers who certifies us.
Now, some people maybe have been eating a lot of processed foods, you know, can't really remember how to prepare certain cuts of meat. You guys have recipes up on your website, I think, to kind of give us some tips.
Yeah, there's different recipes for different cuts. You can just go to the recipe section, and there's a lot of different recipes in there. I've tried a lot of them, and they've come from some different people. And so if you need some hints or whatever, and you got to remember that grass-fed beef does cook a little bit quicker. It takes about 20% less time. Best thing is to sear it real quick and then cook it a little bit slower.
Trap those juices.
Trap the juices in. Don't be afraid to not cook it well done. It is preferable not to cook it well done.
Okay, that sounds delicious. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Clint Victorine from Eel River Organic Grass-Fed Beef.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.